Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, January 23rd. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good evening.
So, John, I want to start with you in the editorial that you wrote yesterday about a new streaming service.
There's another streaming service.
NBC Universal is launching Peacock, I think, on April 15th with a sort of a relaunch for the Olympics in July. And the press release is awesome. It's obviously a lot of money, a lot of effort has been put into this. They took their time. It remains to see how good the app is in terms of reliability and ease of use. But if it's like any of the other apps, and I expect it will be similar to things like Amazon Prime and Netflix and so on. It should be pretty impressive in its scope. But as I read through the press release, I started noticing certain things about the approach that they took and how they're kind of seducing the customers, potential subscribers, into the situation. Mostly through appeal to nostalgia, appeal to massive hoarding of content, and glossing over ad-supported material. The first part has to do with rolling out all these older shows like Battlestar Galactica, a fine show, Bates Motel, 30 Rock, Friday Night Lights. And there's a long list of shows that they're rolling out as part of the library. And I started thinking, you know, well, some of these shows appeal to some of the people. There's definitely an angle here to appeal to the great shows of the past.
And Big Bang Theory.
Nostalgia.
Wrong Network.
Parks and Recreation.
Wait.
Psych. Shows that were great in their day may not be long lasting, may not stand the test of time, may not bear, you know, reruns. Some shows are easy to watch. I noticed with Mandalorian, I went through half of it again with my wife, who was sick during the first part, so I watched a lot of it by myself. And then we went back when she was feeling better, and Mandalorian bears up
Goodness,
well.
You're such a hero,
the second
John.
Time. But a lot of shows don't bear up. I noticed Royal Pains, in my opinion, doesn't do that. But moving on, there's definitely an appeal to the glories of the past in order to get people excited, and I think that's an interesting marketing angle, and it's probably effective, but it kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Given all the original content that's coming out on Disney and Apple TV and Netflix. And then secondly, there's an appeal to hoarding. I think this announcement in particular tries to overload you with the volume of information, or archive material, new material, sports, talk shows, Olympics. And the idea is that there's so much there that $4.99 a month, if you have to pay for it, doesn't seem like a whole lot of money. But no human being can watch all that content, especially if you're a subscriber to any other service and you're watching other shows. The amount of content you can consume realistically, practically, for a sane and rational person is limited. And that raises the price per show quite a bit, makes it very favorable. But there's a psychological trap here, that the amount of material divided by the price is favorable. And I think that's another market angle that you have to watch out for. And finally, the $4.99 a month, if it's not bundled with Comcast and Cox subscribers, if you're not one of those customers and you pay for the unbundled service, you know, monthly subscription, you pay $4.99 a month, but it's ad-supported. And my experience is that these services that do have ads, like Hulu, kind of underplay the idea that, you know, you don't need no stinking DVR to skip over commercials. The networks and the studios hate DVRs because they allow people to skip over commercials. That they have to accommodate their advertising rates for when they estimate that you've ended up watching the show and what commercials you may have watched. And so this idea of returning 20 years ago to basic cable-like experience where they charge you a monthly fee, and then they charge advertisers, and you get to watch commercials. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a throwback, and you have to watch out for that. And if you want to eliminate commercials altogether from Peacock Premium, you have to pay $10 a month, which, in my recollection, people don't like to pay a whole lot of money for ad-free. They want to get the mm-hmm. most economical service. Mm-hmm. And so we're throwing the time back 20 years to the glorious days when you could charge advertisers and charge the customer and have a double revenue stream. So that's my kind of take on Peacock.
Mm-hmm. I think, at least for me, I have a mark against the service because I've used the NBC app occasionally.
Me too.
And it's not a great experience. And I have watched an hour program, and you can't skip the commercials, which is fine. I get it. I'm not paying, like, it's, I get to use it for free because I have cable, so it doesn't really bother me that it's doing, you know, that they're giving me the advertisements. That's fine. But there's only like three of them, and to watch the same three ads in commercial breaks and then get some of them twice because it's like this ad break will have four commercials in it or five commercials in it, and you're seeing at least one of them twice.
That's
is
really annoying.
Frustrating. Maybe. Like, yeah. To the point that I will give up on the show if that's...
Do you know the ads off by heart yet?
I don't do it all the time. I've done it once in a while, and that was the thing that... And I actively try to avoid doing it because of this. It's not because I mind there being advertisements. It's because I want to see more than three. So that's part of what I don't like about it. But also, I feel like, you know, everybody's like, I'm sure Peacock is marketing this as choice. There's so much choice out there for people to decide things, and everybody can get all the content they want, which is not true. And, you know, at what point are all of these going to just end up being subscription fatigue, and people are going to go, well, I'm just keeping cable?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I don't want to shock everyone, but I actually agree with John.
What? Yay.
I know, I don't. I think a lot of the points John has made are right, and I've kind of followed up with a piece of analysis I did today based on a report that came out from a company called Ender's Analysis. It was looking through basically the approach that Peacock is taking. Mm-hmm. And it left me basically feeling like we're going back to the future, because basically Peacock is running on a similar model to linear cable TV. There's different price tiers depending on the content you want, and there's adverts. It's just over the internet now, right?
Right.
So I'm fine. Like, it feels very back to the future to me. And not just because of the content, which John has rightly pointed out is rather nostalgic. So when you've got Apple TV Plus for $4.99 with just original content.
Mm-hmm. And no ads.
And no ads, exactly. To have to pay another $4.99 for something with ads, okay, but no original content, I find it hard to get my head around. Now, explain something to me. Would you, for example, be able to watch the Olympics on other cable platforms without buying Peacock in America?
No, you'd have to watch NBC.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So if you have an so fine. But
I think
so you're already paying for
it. Distributed out to other, like ESPN may carry special events or something, as I recall.
Right, right, right. So my point is, I've tried to see what the thing is that is going to make people go, I want to watch Peacock.
Well, the press release, Charlotte, was very specific about what you're going to get. I mean, you're going to get the opening ceremonies earlier than usual, and there's going to be special daily shows. But
yeah, and they're doing an exclusive news thing as well, aren't they?
Yeah, but whether you'll be able to watch any event you want to watch or a lot of content on Peacock wasn't very clear in the press release. And I
Which,
tend to
by the way,
it.
Not to show off, but you can do that in the UK via the BBC. Just saying. but that's a slightly different issue. The point is, I think, as John pointed out in his piece, focusing on the nostalgia, kind of the tug at nostalgia Peacock is doing, that really is why you would sign up for it. If you want all the shows that you've named and more, you're kind of going to have to go, okay, I'll buy Peacock. It's like, I don't know, you could even, you know, a digital DVD collection or something, right? That's really the pull, isn't it? That's what they're trying to compel you is worth $4.99 or $9.99 a month.
Well,
but I'm not sure it is. That will be for people to decide who wants the shows. And, you know, Disney has got a lot of nostalgia in there. Like, yeah, people are buying it for princesses.
Kind of, mm-hmm. It's a special kind of family nostalgia. It's not Bates Motel.
No, I think that's a fair point. It's a different thing, but... We can't pretend there's no nostalgia for the reasons people are buying Disney Plus.
Well, you know, the thing, Charlotte, is that they're going to be giving it away free bundle to 24 million Cox and Comcast
yes.
customers. And that's going to give them a really good feel for what people are watching. And then the structure of the content might change as a result of that.
Excuse me. Yeah. No. What I'm surprised about is there doesn't seem to be much original content, if any. You know, there's a talk of there's a deal with Kevin Hart, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few things. But we know that the thing that so far has drawn people into Apple TV Plus, people are getting the Apple TV Plus or interested in Apple TV Plus because they want to watch The Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
People are signing up to Amazon Prime Video because they want to watch Jack Ryan or whatever.
Oh yeah, there's no signature mm-hmm. show yet we've identified
Bingo.
In NBC Universal.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we know the type of shows that encourage people, that made people want to sign up for
there's
Netflix.
There's no Mandalorian.
There's no Mandalorian. There's no No, that's right. There's no Mandalorian. There's no Morning Show. There's no Jack Ryan or whatever it is. There's no Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I could go on. Those are shows that encourage people to go, well, this is worth it. And you know what? If I cancel the subscription once I've watched the show, okay. If I find other stuff that I like, also okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we've characterized is what Wired calls tired.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah, look, it does, I think there are going to be people that like it. I don't want to look like I'm being snooty about a service that does have a lot of stuff on it that people will want. There's another point I want to put
I can't
you,
wait to watch Saturday Night Live reruns when they poke fun at George W. Bush. Ah, the good old days.
I think, you know, part of it is I'm not sure how they are going to differentiate themselves, really, from the other places, except in bad ways. Like, there is no original content.
Oh, I see.
So, because otherwise they're just another streaming service. And, like, I don't know what's on this one. I don't know what's on the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just easier to keep cable than it's going to be to keep track of all this other stuff.
So the other question I wanted to ask you two mm-hmm. is what you think about this idea of multiple price points. To me, I think there are some people that are going to understand it because it's just like cable.
Mm-hmm.
But equally, I think there's lots of people who are going to be like, nah, this is confusing, can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I had a different take on it. I kind of got the feeling that the $10 a month for ad-free content was designed to steer people back towards the $4.99 a month and get them to watch ads.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more glorious than watching, you know, Bates Motel without ads. You know, that's so.
Yeah. It's a really good show.
Yeah. So I don't know that there's anything wrong with multiple price points. It gives people choice.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give us a feel for how much money NBC is making and what they think the value of ad-free content is. It's double. And it kind of gives you a feel
I'm
for
not
how much
sure.
their ad is
I charging. Think. So, like. It was very clear, like, people understand Netflix. There are a couple of different tiers, aren't there, for, like, multiple devices on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
isn't there? But basically, for me, one of the best attributes of Apple TV Plus is how simple it is. Mm-hmm. You pay $4.99 and you get these shows. Mm-hmm. Same with Amazon Prime Video. Mm-hmm. You pay whatever it is. Is it $99 in US Amazon Prime?
I think it's $1.99 now.
I think it's $1.19 a year now, US dollar.
Okay, so you pay one price and you get free shipping and also Prime Video and other services that no one uses. Mm-hmm. Or you pay $7.99 or what, and you get TV. Mm-hmm. You can watch those shows that I've named. That to me is really clear. This maybe it was just the way they characterized it in the press release and some of the release details, which John is right, was really heavy on how much stuff there is. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me like a lot of consumers are going to look at that and go, "Schmeh." Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And nothing that they are pointing out is stuff.
Schmeh is a technical term, by the way, just to be clear.
I love when you speak technical, Charlotte.
Yeah. I think, like I said, none of this is differentiating in a good way. Like, look at all this old stuff you could go back and watch. That is not necessarily going to appeal to people. If you want to pay a reasonable amount of money, you have to sit through commercials. Not great. And it's going to just be another streaming service. And I, at this point, I'm not seeing anything from them that turns my head. And I know some other people who have sort of been waiting to see a little more definitively what shape it's going to take and have looked at it and gone, "Neh," and not been excited about it. So I'm interested to see how this does, because I'm not getting anything from it otherwise.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, like, I'm certainly not going to be signing up, and even if I get it for free, I probably won't use it. I mean, it doesn't hold appeal for me.
Well, you made a really good point, Kelly. If the app for NBC's Universal's Peacock Premium is no better than their current app, they're in big trouble.
Yes.
Because the Netflix app is superb, and mm-hmm. Apple TV Plus is right there in a close up next behind it, mm-hmm. along with Amazon Prime. And so one of the things they have to watch out for is to have severe technical excellence. Otherwise, that'll mm-hmm. really turn off the viewers.
Yeah, and it will be not great. So right now, however, thank you both for that conversation. Right now, I want to thank our sponsor today, and our sponsor is Lightstream. Lightstream wants to help you refinance your credit card balances and save by getting a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, way less than the usual interest rate on a credit card of over 20%. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no application fees, origination fees, or transaction fees. There's no prepayment penalty. You can apply right on your phone, and you might even get your money the same day you apply. And just for my listeners, if you apply now to get an additional interest rate discount, the only way to get this is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. It's lightstream.com/TDO. You can get an additional discount on your credit card consolidation loan, lightstream.com/TDO. And the part that has to come at the end of this, subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TDO for more information. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, one of the other things we want to talk about while we're talking about streaming services in general is that Apple now can talk about how they have award-winning content. Right, Charlotte?
Yeah. Yeah, they've won a couple of things. So the most recent was Jennifer Aniston, who picked up the SAG Award for Best Actress in a Drama Series, mm-hmm. which is, pretty significant. And also we've had victories for Billy Crudup from The Morning Show as well, mm-hmm. who, Billy Crudup, I think he was actually the best performer in that show.
That's mm-hmm. what hooked me on the show, by the way.
Right, isn't
his
he
performance.
Brilliant?
He's
very
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, it's these are big steps forward.
Yeah,
so
and
if
particularly,
nothing else, it just kind of it just kind of shows some acceptance from the Hollywood elite.
Right. And that's part of why the Screen Actors Guild Awards, like, people talk about it being a more meaningful one because it's, you know, sort of your coworkers. Like, it's other people in the Screen Actors Guild who are voting on these and figuring out, you know, who should be nominated and who ultimately wins. And so I would think it would be nice to get that award, like, particularly because it goes, because it's from, you know, your peers. So it seems like that would be an interesting award to win.
Yeah, I also think that they'll have been happy with the Critics' Choice Award winner for Billy Crudup. That's the other award they've won. Because they were, look, let's not pretend, Apple did do well to get the Golden Globe nominations it got.
Yes.
But I think it was probably pretty disappointing not to win any of them.
Oh, sure.
Did you kind of get the feeling that the awards people were holding back a little bit because they didn't want to fawn over Apple too early, too much? Sort of like stand back and watch and see how they do in the long run. I kind of get that feeling.
Yeah, look, I think it is an achievement the first year or first few months, really, that you're making shows to get noticed by things like the Golden Globes. I think I don't really think it's testament to Apple, to be honest. I think it's testament to the fact that Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and Billy Crudup were really very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
So I think that's the point, really. But I think what it all does is make Apple more accepted in the media space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what's important, because we discussed this on the show before. When the first reviews of the shows came out, there was a lot of sneering and bad reviews. Mm-hmm. Now, I think probably some of the content is not very good. I've really never been compelled to watch C, for example. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff, you know, I've enjoyed Snoopy in Space. We've enjoyed Dickinson. Mm-hmm. We've enjoyed...
Oh, have you seen any subsequent episodes after the...
No, but I've liked the first one. I'm going to sit and watch it now. John, there's been a lot of football on
TV. Promise. Yes. Okay.
I promise. John, there's been a lot of soccer on TV at the moment.
You're going to love Dickinson. I know you will.
I don't know quite what you mean by that.
Well, it's about a young woman who's trying to be a writer, and she's shackled by the culture of her time. And I think it appeals
to... I'm teasing, John. Okay. I love it, and I really like what they did with Dickinson, the way they kind of put it an old-fashioned thing in modern times, and they managed to do it without it being really cringe. Mm-hmm. And the death character is great. Like... So there's good stuff on there, is my point. There's some dross, but there's some good stuff as well. So I think there was initial sneering at the content,
absolutely,
which I don't think is fair across the board. And I think this move means people are going to have to pay future Apple content a little bit more respect, because it's not just a tech company trying to do TV shows anymore.
I think the sneering was derived from the fact that there were rumors that Apple management interfering with the production process. And what we've learned subsequently was that Apple hired first-class production people to make first-class shows and let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of it, I think, was also a little bit of who do you think you are making original content? You know, you're a computer company.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that attitude may have unfairly colored people's assessment of those shows, but they came out, people watched them, you know, everybody that got a new phone last year got it for free, you know, got a year of TV Plus for free, so maybe sat down and checked it out. And I think that that helped them a lot, that people watched and paid attention. And, you know, they did, I think, use one smart throwback move with TV Plus, and that was releasing the morning show every week, an episode a week, like The Mandalorian did.
Well, that's a very interesting point, because we've been, for the last 10 minutes, laughing a bit at NBC Universal making Peacock quite old school. Mm-hmm. And you're totally right that the way Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus release those shows on a weekly basis is quite old school.
Mm-hmm. And I like it.
So, right. So I think it's
That was to avoid having people binge watch and then cancel their subscription.
Sure. But it's a very old school way of doing it, right?
Right.
And I think it's fair to say that people didn't really mind that. Would I prefer to be able to watch the morning show? Yeah, probably, but I also enjoyed being able to watch it on a Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. Or Monday morning for me when it came out.
Yeah. And I liked that because for some, like for The Mandalorian, for example, I really enjoyed getting to kind of sit with it in between episodes. And like,
sure.
And like, consider it, talk to other people about it. So, you know, it kept my attention for a month and a half.
Yeah. And it also stopped that thing of not being able to talk about it with friends because they're not up to the same episode as you and whatever else.
That's something a signature show does is it ramps up social media discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think there's going to be that kind of social media fanfare about these nostalgia shows on NBC Universal Peacock.
Yeah, yeah, damn it.
So, yeah, but because of that, because at first there was this old school thing where we were like, oh, why are they doing that? That's annoying. I want to watch the whole thing. I wonder, going back to our previous conversation, if people may start to feel like that about the adverts on Peacock. They might go, do you know what? I'm happy to have it for free. Mm-hmm. I'm happy not to have ads. I'm happy to have ads. I get this.
I think that's possible. I don't think we're going to know anytime soon. So, I mean, that's like, it needs to come out and people need to get a hold of it and see how they like it. We need to see what the app is like and figure it out. And once that happens, you will hear about it here on the Daily Observations podcast, because obviously we are interested in this and we definitely want to talk about it. So if the app is at least a good experience, maybe some people will sign up and be cool with that. We'll let you know. So I want to thank both of you for being here today. John, thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this show.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And also with me, Charlotte Henry. Thank you for being here.
Bye. I'm off to binge watch Dickinson. See you later.
Yay.
Yeah. Now, and then look forward to John's episode of Background Mode, where he and Charlotte chat about Dickinson the entire time. You never know. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. You can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Until then, be excellent to each other.